We're going to need someone who speaks Irish.
Whoever edits this episode, either you or Dustin, you need to put some music in the background, some like dramatic Celtic music. Okay, I'm sorry.
Do some dramatic Celtic music and then also like do some Google Translate of
yeah, this if I will, sentence, I'll English, do the Irish and it'll be really bad. I'll just whisper it. Hello, Fairy Tale Fix listeners, to another episode of Fairy Tale Fix. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Abby.
And this is the podcast where this month we read Irish fairy tales to each other. Yes! And then we fix them for a modern audience or, you know, for us. I feel like we need to update that.
We just fix them. We make them better. They're not necessarily for a modern audience, but they are for our audience.
Yes. For you. For you, dear listeners. We fix them for you.
You're welcome. If you've made it to episode 84, then you clearly like the fixes that we do. So
yes. Yeah. And thank you for listening. If this is your first episode listening, if you're listening out of order, welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We hope you enjoy the chaoticness that's about to ensue.
This should be a good case study or test for whether or not this is for you.
Correct. You know, I don't know if listening to episode one, have we changed? We haven't really changed anything at this point, but I do feel like, you know, cause like, did you ever like listen to a podcast and episode one is so vastly different from when they get into their like episode, but like at least by episode 20?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think, we have not changed format in any significant way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've noticed that a lot of shows seem to like change their theme song after a couple of years. Like usually get a better one.
You know, I have asked Adam to rewrite or re-record our theme song, like for piano or like just a different instrument for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't because tisk tisk. He just won't do it.
He's slacking on the job of being our personal musician.
Exactly. Rude.
Rude.
He plays with a band now, and I've asked him. I was like, you should get the whole band to play it.
Can we get the full orchestral version of it?
Like, that would be so cool.
That would be so cool.
But that would require him, like, talking to people and asking for things, and I don't think that's ever going to happen. But
maybe next year after he's gotten much more comfortable with them.
Maybe. I hope so. Because I think that would be really fun.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. I'd love to hear it in a different instrument because I love our theme. I don't know how big of a fan I am of – we've never talked about this on the podcast, but I'm not a big fan of the fake French horn. It just – to me, when you have music that is played by instruments from a computer – like he composed it, but he didn't have any like real musicians to play it, you know? So he recorded it through like a computer program, and I just – I
can't believe you're giving our secrets away like
this. I know. Maybe we should cut this out.
No, we're leaving it in. People understand.
You need to know. I can hear the fake French horn. Can you? Now you do.
I every time you say it, I'm like, that's a French horn?
I think so. Okay. There's also some harp in the background that's really pretty. It's like do 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 do.
I can hear the harp. I just didn't know that the instrument going da na 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 like was a French horn.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
All right.
I think.
I wouldn't know a real one from a fake one.
It just doesn't have any soul. It's like when you, for me, it's like when I play the keyboard versus the piano. Keyboard doesn't have any soul. The piano's got vibrations.
There's a resonance to like an actual instrument that, digital just doesn't have.
Anyway.
That's fair.
I wasn't planning on talking about that today. But yeah. Different theme music. I feel like people get more comfortable, which I like. I actually usually like starting podcasts by like episode 10. I feel like they've got their groove, which I do think is true for us.
Absolutely. We've gotten way more comfortable, like, as episodes went by, of like relaxing into what we actually want more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I think we're more chaotic with our fixes.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe I'd have to go back and listen.
I haven't listened. Honestly, I have not listened to like our early episodes ever.
I have listened to, I still really like that first one we did with the test that's on our Patreon, our episode zero, essentially, mm-hmm. where we didn't have any good mics. It was echoey as hell. But we were like, let's just see how this would even go. And it makes me laugh because we didn't have like how we were going to end the podcast. And I think I was like, what was your happy ending this week? And I was like, that sounds so dirty. Yes. I can't believe I just said that. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. Like, certainly our least polished episode was episode zero.
Yeah. If you have thought about becoming a patron, that's probably the episode that I think it's worth signing up for. It's so funny.
It's so adorable. I love it. I love it so much. Oh, you know, something we have changed is we actually do an intro now.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a significant way in which our podcast has gotten like more professional.
We're just growing. Getting better and better every day.
As people, as storytellers, as podcasters.
We hope you feel the same.
I don't record in my closet anymore.
Yep, same.
Yep. We came out of the closet.
Out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Into the guest bedroom.
Yep.
What's new with you this week? I know you had stuff to talk to me about. We talked a lot yesterday.
Did I?
Yeah, you were like, oh, I'm going to talk about that. Oh, yeah. How was Dune?
Oh, Dune yeah. 2. I went to go see Dune Part 2 last night.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Is that your official review?
That's my official review of Dune Part 2. It was pretty good. As ever, like, I don't know. Did you see Dune Part 1?
I did not. Should I?
Honestly, I don't think so. I don't think you'd enjoy it. I genuinely don't think it's your cup of tea. It's like, it's very, like, it's very high concept space opera.
Ah, okay.
Well, and it's so, well, you don't like space. No, not your
not
thing.
Really. And unless like, it's Futurama, which is weird.
But that's a different kind though, of right? thing. Yeah.
It's not really
this
about
is very
space.
Serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so like it's also it's space opera in the sense that like the opera part is very like dramatic and tragic, so it's like a big tragic cautionary tale about like charming leaders and the dangers of not questioning what you're told and co-opting resistance movements to get your own vengeance. So it's like it's an interesting story. It just also like it's really slow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like Steven yawned his way through both parts because they're very, very slow. Like it takes a long time for the action to get moving.
And it's long, right? Like they're both long movies.
Both of them are like 2.5 hour films, slow paced. I don't know. I genuinely don't know if it's for Kelsey's.
Yeah, probably not.
No, I don't know. So no, I'd say you can definitely skip Dune. Both parts. Okay. If, however, listeners, you are like me and a slow-paced grand space opera is with like just truly gorgeous visuals.
Yeah,
and a score that digs its way into your brain and doesn't let go. Thank you, Hans Zimmer, for bringing us another one. Then yes, or and like you like the and like the slow political intrigue parts of Game of Thrones was your favorite part.
Oh wow, yeah, okay.
Then you might like Dune. Anyway, Dune Part 2, very like very good, like gorgeous visuals, gorgeous score. They added a lot to the story about some of the female characters that are kind of on the edge of the story. They kind of gave a couple more of those characters some more depth.
That's fun.
And some more character traits, or actually showed them at all as opposed to just sort of referencing them.
Is there going to be more parts, like part 2, part 3 or 4 or whatever?
I think so. Cause like there are five books.
Wow.
And the first two movies were just covering the first one.
Okay.
And so they might do the next two books, I think, is the plan. I don't know if they plan on going farther than that, because like shit gets real weird. after a certain point. Oh, it's right? fun. It's yeah. it's fun. Like as like spoiler alert, you know, one character becomes a sandworm and becomes the god emperor of Dune.
That sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
question. Did you get one of those Dune worm popcorn bucket things?
No.
I keep seeing that on TikTok and it makes me laugh. I feel like I want to go to see the movie just for that.
Hey, I mean, go for it. Like,
I haven't even seen the first one.
There is some cool stuff with the sandworms. Like, I thought the set pieces were really cool. Honestly, there are clips of this movie that I think you would enjoy very much when it comes out on streaming and like YouTube. Like, yeah. I will find a clip compilation.
I might eventually watch it. I bet Adam would like it. That seems like something that he would be into if he hasn't already. I mean, obviously he hasn't seen part two because it's in theaters, but yeah, 2.5 hours just seems like a big, I might have to watch it in parts. I could do that.
There were ways in which like I was watching both films and I was thinking like, you know, this probably would have worked better as a miniseries.
I think everything works better as a miniseries because like genuinely then it doesn't. It can end or it can keep going, like it depending on the story. They can do the full story the right way. You don't have to cram it all in.
Mm-hmm.
I am pro miniseries for like everything.
100%.
I know you know that I really hope they do an ACOTAR miniseries eventually.
Oh, they've already started casting for it. Haven't they?
I heard it got like canceled again, or somebody dropped, or whoever was gonna do it dropped it.
Maybe I don't. Yeah, I guess I don't know. I have not been keeping up with it. But like I'm sure someone will develop that into a TV show.
I think that'd be really fun.
I think they're gonna do it as a full TV show though, and not as like a miniseries.
Oh yeah, I could see that though because it could be pretty long.
It could be very long.
Because isn't it like she might be making more of those books too?
She's writing two more. So like there's already like four that are out. Well, three plus a novella.
Yeah.
And then there are two more that are planned. Mm-hmm.
So excited.
And they keep getting longer because her editor does not tell her no anymore.
As long as like the story is complete, I think author, well, I don't know. I like the idea of being able to tell the full story.
Totally. It's not the fact that it is long that I think is the problem. It's that like when I was reading the most recent one, there were just kind of like, this is padding that didn't need to be here. Like
I get that. Well, then they can leave that stuff out of the series. I'm not even finished with that book. Yeah. I've actually just started it.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it.
It's a good book. Like I like that book. Mm-hmm. I was reading her other series.
Yeah.
And this is the one where every single book in her other series is like 700 pages.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's the one where I'm just kind of a like, girl, this did not need to be here. you could have cut. There are so many scenes that you could have totally cut and the plot would have been better.
No. Okay. Fair.
Your editor needs to start editing your books. Because you've got like Sarah J. Maas has some really fun ideas, very fun ideas, and then her execution just kind of goes bleh sometimes.
All right,
this is my opinion about SJM books.
Well, hey, you're the big reader. I've been doing the audiobooks, and I don't know. Sometimes I prefer reading the book, but with those, I like the audio version. It's just faster and easier. And I don't know, especially lately, because I want to like be doing stuff. I can't just like sit there. I have to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. Audiobooks are great for that. Like you can clean and listen to the book.
Yeah, or go for a walk.
Yeah.
Or drive to work. or work.
When you're just like designing posters all day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Perfect design company. Well, I'm glad you had a good time at the movies.
I did. It was excellent. I don't know. I'm curious. If you do end up watching them with Adam, you should let me know if you ended up enjoying them after all.
I will in like 5 years, probably. 5 years later, I'll let you know.
I'll still be interested.
Yeah.
I'll still want to know. What's up with you?
I have some big news. I have a new favorite Girl Scout cookie.
You said you were going to tell me about this. All right, go for it.
So basically, I realized it was Girl Scout cookie season and I got super stoked and I had to rush to my nearest Safeway where I know that there's always Girl Scouts like hanging out because I don't organically get any Girl Scouts coming to me, which is, I think, very sad because I would buy so many cookies. So I love Girl Scout cookies. And this year I just went kind of nuts and bought like 6 or 7 boxes. And I was like, but it's fine because I'm going to take them to the office and my coworkers will love me. And then I also get to try at least one of each cookie.
Yeah. Okay.
And discovered that Lemon Ups are my jam. I'm normally a Samoa girl. I love Samoas. Like I love coconut. But I don't know. The Lemon Ups were just like, it surprised me because I thought it was just going to be like a lemon shortbread cookie. But damn.
And it's not?
I mean, it has like a little bit of icing on it.
Okay.
So it's got a little bit of like punchy flavor, but then it does have that like buttery shortbread and it's really, really fucking good.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. I want to go out and get Girl Scout cookies now.
You definitely should.
Try some Lemon Ups.
Hell yeah. I was surprised. I didn't think I would like it that much. Especially because normally, I mean, coconut and caramel and chocolate. Delicious. They're still like up there. Obviously, my second favorite cookie.
Yeah. Samoas are excellent, excellent cookies.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, next time I go, I'm getting a box of Lemon Ups.
Okay. Gotta try that. Cause like ordinarily, I'm a, hang on. I'm gonna look up a list of the cookies because I forget what they're all called.
I know. And they've come out with a few new ones too. I bought like the Adventurefuls.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't tried them yet.
Well, those are new. I've never seen those before.
Yeah. I think they're like new since maybe last year or 2 years ago.
And a gluten-free caramel chocolate chip.
Oh, hey, Caroline.
Yeah. Caroline can have Girl Scout cookies. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I've always been like a peanut butter patties girl.
Oh, nice. Yep.
And honestly, the basic bitch shortbread cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Classic.
Those have been my Girl Scout cookie choices. But I'm gonna try some Lemon Ups now.
Yeah, dude, they're good. And it's different than lemonade. There's so many. And I realized that they were in season because there's like this wine person I follow, and she's like, here's what cookies to eat with which wines. Like she does like a pairing, and I think that's really fun.
That's really cute. Wait, so what goes good with Lemon Ups?
I have no idea. I'm going to guess they're maybe like a Pinot Grigio.
Mm-hmm. Something kind of lemony.
Yeah, not as tart as a Sauvignon Blanc, but still something a little crisp to go with it.
You heard it here first, folks.
That would be my first recommendation. Ooh, maybe a rosé.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, no, definitely rosé because then it has that kind of like, especially if you get like a fruity rosé because then it'd be kind of like pink lemonade kind of. Anyway.
Gosh, that sounds – okay. Well, no, I want rosé.
So that's what's going on with me. Cookies. Oh, and they also, FYI, Oreos. I don't know if anybody's tried, but they have that space dunk where it's like
– The what?
It's a bisexual cookie too. It's pink and blue, but it has Pop Rocks in it. And if you've never had Oreos with Pop Rocks in them, they're so good. Don't sleep on the Pop Rock Oreos.
Oh, right. I hated that. Like I got
I did.
I got like the 4th of July ones that had like Pop Rocks.
Not a fan. Huh.
Nope.
Oh man. I thought that was so like exciting. It was like, ooh, creamy and delicious, but also what? Yeah, fireworks in your mouth.
Yes, absolutely. And I can see why people would like them. And I love that for you.
Me too.
I hated it.
Oh. Well, you know, different strokes for different folks.
I like my Oreo cookies. That's why they have so many flavors
of Girl Scout cookies. That's why they have so many different flavors of Girl Scout cookies. Yeah, exactly. Everybody is different and unique and yeah.
I've got to run out and find like a local. I've got to run out to a grocery store and see if they're out front.
That's what I did. I specifically went to Safeway for the Girl Scout cookies.
They're always
and
there.
And I told her that. She was the cutest little girl. Oh my gosh. I like told her I didn't have any Girl Scouts that I knew. And she was like, well, you know me now. And she's like, showed me your troop number and was like,
that's so cute.
She was so adorable.
Little baby.
And I'm pretty sure that's a pretty good organization. Like they do a lot of good stuff for underprivileged people. And
yeah, absolutely. There's one Girl Scout troop also in New York City that like it's a Girl Scout troop specifically for kids that are living in like shelters.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
And it's specifically for like to give them something to do and, you know, give them a little structure and make them a little money.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'll see if I can locate because that's who I usually buy Girl Scout cookies from if I don't have like a coworker whose kids are doing it.
Yeah.
So I'll see if I can find that troop and we can put it in the show notes or something.
If you are a parent with a Girl Scout, let us know. Let us know. I think you can buy them online now.
You can. Right? Yeah, that's like how I bought mine from that New York troop.
That's great. Hell yeah. Go buy some Girl Scout cookies and feel good about it.
I love Girl Scout cookies. It does make me feel good. I'm like, see, I'm helping.
Uh-huh, and I get this delicious treat. I get rewarded for spending $50 on cookies.
For my good deeds. Yeah, the cookies are expensive.
It's fine. Yeah, are you ready to get going on Irish Fairy Tale Month?
Yes, I am. I am so excited.
Okay, I think, are you first?
Yes, I think it's my turn to go first.
Yeah, I went first last time, so it's your turn.
Okay, well then this is perfect because like so you brought up ACOTAR.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to preface this story and also to kind of give you a direction to go on for your predictions that I am doing something a little different today.
Okay.
And this is going to be less like Irish folk tales as we usually tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like sort of like, you know, during the like the era of English occupation, this is going to be more like Irish Celtic myths and legends.
Okay.
So think gods and heroes and less, less landlords.
Okay.
For this. So I'm going to be telling you the story today of the Harp of Dagda.
The Harp and Dagda.
The Harp of Dagda.
The Harp of Dagda. Well, then I think the harp is sentient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the harp is played for a lover.
A lover.
A lover. And my third prediction is, oh my gosh, I've been doing so bad on these predictions lately too. And now you're coming at me with a weird one. Oh gosh. A harp is sentient. A harp is played for a lover. And there's a curse.
And there's a curse. Okay.
A curse.
Perfection.
That means it's wrong. Whenever you're too like happy about my prediction.
Yes. Good.
That means it's wrong. All right.
Well, we'll let you decide.
Okay. Tell me.
The story. Okay. So I want to give some background about this first. So I brought up ACOTAR again. So, and for those of you who haven't heard of this series or don't recognize the acronym, this is Sarah J. Maas's A Court of, you know, blank.
Yeah,
series of novels. So like A Court of Thorns and Roses. This is that series, which has very much details like stuff having to do with fairies and sort of mm-hmm. like the ancient like fae.
Sexy fairies.
Yeah, not the wee folk.
Yeah, sexy.
Although they
tall.
Can be sexy fairies. So a lot of what she drew inspiration from was sort of these older Celtic myths and legends and conceptions of the fae. So I want to just kind of talk about some of the major players here that are part of sort of this old Celtic pantheon, essentially, of gods and heroes. So the main characters in our story are going to be people who were known as the Tuat de Danann, which is Irish for tribe of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribe of the gods they're a supernatural race, kings, queens, druids, bards, warriors, heroes, healers, craftsmen. They have supernatural powers. They're all superhumanly beautiful. And a lot of these figures are who, you know, a lot of stories like where these sorts of fae are described are like, that's where that's from. That idea. Like also a lot of like Tolkien's elves were based off mm-hmm. of stories about the Tuatha De Danann.
Yeah.
Prominent members of this group include the Dagda, which is who we're going to talk about in this story. Cause it's the harp of Dagda. Mm-hmm. And he is sort of like the great god, sort of like the king of the gods. A lot of he was portrayed as like a father figure, a king, a druid, and was associated with fertility, agriculture, manliness, magic, druidry, and wisdom were sort of like his things. And he was like a god king.
Cool.
And then also like, you know,
badass.
He is pretty badass. He's kind of a big deal around here. And then another character who might be familiar to either people who have read sort of books about fictional fairies or people who are familiar with like various Arthurian legends would be the Morrigan. Who, you know, her name translates to Great Queen or Phantom Queen. Mm-hmm. And she was mostly associated with war and fate, especially with foretelling doom, death, or victory in battle. And she's often depicted as a crow. So she's kind of like a war goddess or leader, and then also like a fortune teller and a witch.
Yes, queen.
Yes. So those are the Tuatha De Danann. And then the other major players in this are a group of people called the Fomorians or the Fomori, who are another supernatural race. So these are sort of like more like dark fairies. Who are
bad fairies?
They're bad fairies.
I want to be a bad fairy. Listening to Rob Zombie. Sorry.
Is that like.
That was a throwback to episode zero. Because we're talking about bad fairies.
We are. How does Rob Zombie factor into it?
Because bad fairies listen to Rob Zombie, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, okay,
I have not
sorry.
Listened to that episode in a long, long time. So these are like hostile, monstrous beings, originally said to come from under the sea or under the earth. And they're also like a supernatural race in Irish mythology. So that's the background. And now I'm going to relook up a name that I had already looked up, but promptly forgot how to actually pronounce. And it's one of those Irish words that does not sound like it's spelled.
Yep. There's a lot of those for sure.
All right. Well, I am not going to be able to pronounce that. I don't think that is not a sound that I have ever made before, but I'm going to do my best. I mean, it's spelled U-A-I-T-H-N-E. But the pronunciation is like Oinhe or Oinhe.
Oinhe. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know what? I'm just going to do my best. The name does not come up that often.
Okay.
Okay.
It'll be fine. If you know how to pronounce it, send us a voice message on Instagram.
Yes. Please correct me. Please correct me about any of this, because this story is wall-to-wall full of, like, Celtic Irish names.
Yeah, I avoided a lot of those, actually, when I was picking out my story.
This did take me much more research than I usually do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited to tell you
already
this story.
Me too. I'm excited you wanted to do the research so you could tell me the story. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so exciting because, like, I love the whole concept of, like, there being, like, a tribe of the gods, and that, like, there's all these, like, mysterious figures, and that they were I love that they were the basis for, like, elves in Tolkien. And then also, like, you know, I dunk on ACOTAR a lot just because, but I also really enjoy those books.
Yeah, like, it's also fun to dunk on. It makes me think a lot of like True Blood, but with fairies.
Yes. Very.
It's so fun, but also very, there's a lot of silliness.
It's just, it is very cheesy. Silly.
Oh, there's only one bed at this lodge. You know, stuff like that. It just kills me. Anyway.
But so fun. And like, and the world building is really fun. And I love fairy shit.
Because yeah, like, and I love that Sarah J. Maas, like, obviously did some research, it sounds like, and built her story around, like, kind of more, maybe not more authentic fairies, but somewhat. I don't know. I guess I'll find out.
But like, of like, kind of like this sort of how, just one of the ways in which the Fae show up in various storytelling traditions. Yeah, she definitely did research and, like, did callbacks and, like, named a character the Morrigan.
Yeah, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, like, definitely she did a lot of research for this. And I've just been a big Fae person ever since, like, I saw A Midsummer Night's Dream for the first time.
Aw, yeah. Oh, such a good play.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm excited to do I'm excited to do, like, very, like, real ass fairy shit today. So
real ass fairy shit. That's real title episode. Fairy shit. I'm just kidding, but it's a contender.
I think it's a great contender.
I'm writing it down. That's too many curse words in it. I think
probably we can just do scars.
Real ass fairy shit.
Okay. Here we go. So this is the story of the Harp of Dagda. After the second battle of Moytura, Nuada, the high king of the Tuat Dedannan, was grievously injured. And as it was law among their people that a king must be whole of body, Dagda Mor took his place.
Oh, so good.
So good. But I already have a fix for the story.
Oh, what is it?
Ableist.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But otherwise we wouldn't have a story.
I feel like you need to be like talking more like the beginning of Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
And with some really dramatic, slow background music.
And then someone else should, like, whisper my lines in Irish after yes! I've already said them.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, mighty Dagda, of whom the ballads are sung, he was called the father of the Tuat, the lord of knowledge, the many-skilled, the maker and the man of the peak, had in his possession many beautiful and wondrous things. Beautiful. He had a deadly club that could kill 9 men with one blow.
9 men with one blow? Are you sure it was
Are
men?
Are we sure they're not flies, Dagda?
Are you sure it was men? Did he put it on his belt?
I do love a headcanon of this where Dagda is just some guy who has really spun a legend about himself and become king.
My fix.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He is the tailor from the other story.
Oh, gosh. That's a pretty badass club, though.
It's a really cool club. We'll take him at his word that it kills 9 men with one blow.
Okay.
He also had a tree whose branches were forever bent with fruit, 2 pigs, one of which grew bigger while the other was roasting.
Wow.
And the cauldron called Undri, from which no man could walk away unsatisfied, and which was said to be able to heal all wounds.
Ooh, I'll take the cauldron.
Right? He also had a magical harp, the 4-angled music named Uunhe.
Uunhe, that sounds right.
Uunhe.
That also sounds like pretty, Uunhe.
It is really pretty. But there's just like a certain like lilt to it on the like pronunciation guide that I cannot reproduce. So Uunhe is what we're going with.
Okay, perfect.
Of all the eldritch artifacts at his command, the harp was the most revered, for with it he put the 4 seasons in their right order and could ready warriors for battle.
Hmm.
Carved of the first oak tree and inlaid with gold and precious jewels, its music was fit to make an angel weep or dance. Sorrows of the heart, mind, and body melted like ice under a warm spring sun at the sound of its delicate tones. It's a really cool harp.
Yeah.
Well, it so happened that during the second battle of Moytura, the wicked Fomorians heard the sound of the harp and were caught in the magic of its music, and a Fomor chief knew he must have it. So himself and his men waited until battle was again joined and the Dagda's house was left unguarded before creeping silently within and stealing the harp.
They're stealing the harp and not the cauldron that literally heals.
They want that harp.
I mean, they're fancy.
The cauldron that keeps you fed and heals all wounds?
Yeah.
Nah,
they're fancy and not practical.
Yeah.
Then again,
they want the harp that puts seasons in alignment.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty cool.
It is. It's super cool. It's a very cool magical artifact. Don't diss them for taking the harp.
Maybe the cauldron's just better guarded because it's worth so much more.
Much shade being thrown at this harp.
I'm just saying. Out of all that cool stuff, the harp sounds cool, but it sounds like it's fancy.
It is fancy. It's like it's a luxury and not a need.
Yeah. I guess I'm just practical.
It's fair enough. It's not as splashy.
Yeah.
The cauldron.
It's just ugly. It just looks like a gross cauldron.
Just a stupid cast iron cauldron. Like, blah. So they steal the harp and not the cauldron, and they leap out the windows of the Dagda's house and ran as though their heels were on fire, leaving behind the battle and making their way to an abandoned fortress nearby. Although their terrible king, Baelor, was leading their forces, they left him behind too, so enchanted were they by the harp.
Ooh, it's like the magic's just getting to them.
Yes, like it's definitely a lure. It might be another reason why they went after the harp instead of anything else.
They weren't using their brains. They were, Ooh, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
The harp wants to be stolen.
Ooh, oh my God.
Because the harp is sentient. Or it's like the ring. This is so Lord of the Rings.
It is very Lord of the Rings.
I love it.
You can definitely see, you know, just where.
Okay, is it a small harp or like a big harp? I mean, they took it and ran.
You know, that's unclear.
Okay.
It's unclear in the story. I'm imagining, like, probably not like a floor, like standing harp. Mm-hmm. Definitely something you can pick up.
Okay. Very cool.
So they hung the harp on a wall and waited to see the outcome of the battle. Baelor, the Fomori king, was slain, and the Fomors broken, and the remnants of their army trickled into the fortress in dribs and drabs, drawing comfort from the harp, so that before too long, there was a large muster of warriors encamped, their golden bronze spears still red with Tuat blood. The Dedannan, flush with their victory, full of food and mead from the cauldron Undri, called for music from Dagda's harp, but were aghast to find it had gone missing.
Oh no.
The golden tongue of my harp has been stolen, said the Dagda, but it will sing no sweet songs for the thieves, answering only to my touch. Who here will help me get it back? Ogma, the maker who first wrote the runes of Ogham, stood up, despite his exhaustion, and said he'd join the rescue, added Lu of the long arm, and off the three marched, brandishing spears sharp enough to wound the wind and set it to wailing. I fucking love that, like, little bit of imagery, like, sharp enough to wound the wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sharp.
It's all, like, so very magical.
Mm-hmm. The trio came upon the dark and mournful Fomorian camp and saw their enemies were many, and Ogma and Lu wondered greatly how they'd get the harp back. But Dagda stood up boldly and cried out, "Come to me, my four-angled music!" And what did the harp do but bound from the wall and crashed straight through the Fomorians, killing seven and wounding more.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Seven in one blow.
Yes. Yes, the harp can do seven in one blur. So that club ain't no big deal. To the very hand of Dagda it flew, but the Fomors weren't to be cheated of their last prize, and they were close behind it. "It's time for some music," said Ogma, and Dagda Mor agreed. Putting his fingers to the strings of the harp, he began to play a merry, lilting tune, which set the advancing Fomors to laughing and dancing. So hard did they laugh that their goblets of wine fell from shaking fingers and their weapons dropped to the floor.
I don't know why that's a little cheesy, but it's funny. It's time for some music. And then, like.
And he was so good that he made them laugh until they dropped their shit. Like.
What a superpower.
It creates a superpower. What really makes me delighted with this detail is that, like, it's an ancient story, but this is literally a spell in D&D for, like, bards.
Yeah.
It's like if you play a bard, you can play your harp or your fiddle or whatever and cast a spell on your enemies that makes them laugh uncontrollably.
That's so good. This is where it's from, 100%.
This is the inspo for that spell. But when the music ended, they picked up their weapons again and advanced with a grim gleam in their eyes. "It's time," said Lu, "for some music." And Dagda nodded, playing this time. I know. Hey, buddy, keep playing.
Yeah, seriously, why'd you stop?
Why'd you stop? So this time, Dagda plays a sorrowful song of mourning. The Fomors sat on the ground, holding their heads and weeping. For although they were a cold and hard people, not given to sentimentality, they couldn't help but recall all the warriors slain in the recent battle, and they were overcome with misery.
No. It's the power of music.
Mm-hmm. Makes even hardened, evil, underworld beings cry. But when the song ended, up they got and came at the trio with rage and furious oaths on their lips. And "it is time," said Dagda, "for one last melody."
Yeah.
And with that, he began.
Play it.
Play it, dude. Why did you keep stopping?
I'm imagining him like just wailing on his harp like it's an electric guitar.
Hilarious.
Like thrashing his head, long hair. Like,
oh, I fucking love that idea. Because harps are such a hardcore instrument.
That's what makes it so funny to me. I want to see this movie.
Well, especially so. And with that, he began playing the sweet, soft music of sleep. No man among the Fomors was strong enough to resist, and they curled up where they stood, fast asleep. And from that day forth, none ever tried to steal the Dagda's harp again. And then, of course, you know, this being an Irish fairy tale, they leave, like, there's like a map at the bottom of the story that marks the spot where the Fomors tried to hide the harp.
Oh, hell yeah. That's so cool.
This is a real place that is in Northern Ireland, and it's sort of to like the northwest.
Cool. It's on our
of the country.
On our bucket list of places to visit when we go there.
Absolutely. And now we've got to go check out like where the Fillmores had the harp.
Yeah. Our fairy tale fix tour. I love it. That was amazing.
That's the end of the story. The end. And I got this story from, by the way, emeraldisle.ie, which I think is also where Kelsey got her stories. So we'll link them all in the show notes. But yeah, that's the story of the Harp of Dagda.
That was awesome. So good. I want to see that as like, maybe a cartoon would be kind of fun. But I do. I just imagine like him wailing on the guitar, on the harp, all metal as hell. But yeah, having them fall asleep, that's the smarter. That was the one.
Solid choice. Solid choice. There's a spell for that in all TTRPGs as well for bards.
That's so good. Do you have a fix?
No, I think it's a really good story. It's pretty straightforward. It's very magical. My only fix is that the Tuat Dedanan are apparently very ableist.
Yeah, that happens a lot in folktales.
Exactly, where it's like if you get injured at all, you know, you can't be a leader anymore. So that's my only fix for the story.
Okay.
Is like he just decided, the old king decided he just wanted to retire. And that's why Dagda is king now.
There you go. That's a good fix. My fix is that the harp is sentient. Or is it? I mean,
I think there's an argument to be made that the harp is sentient because
it only played for him.
Yeah, it only plays for Dagda.
So.
Yeah, and then like when he calls it back, it like murders some people.
Yeah. Do I get 2 points for the harp is sentient and a curse?
Yep. I think we'll go ahead and we'll give that one to you.
I feel like they're pity points, but I really need them.
They are not pity points. I feel like there is an argument that the harp is sentient.
And it was not played for a lover.
Certainly not.
Although I would like to see that story. I bet it has been in the past.
Oh, you know, I'm sure it has. Absolutely. Play that harp to all kinds of effects, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. There's lots of stuff you could do with that harp.
Yeah, my fix is definitely, I would like the harp to be more sentient. And I think, what if the harp was like in love with Dagda?
Ooh, aw.
Well, I don't know. I just, that'd be cute, right? And he has to go save her. Man, it's not like in love, like they're lovers, obviously, but like maybe like, you know, just like, she loves him.
Yeah, I love the idea that like the harp is very like emotionally attached to him.
Mm-hmm. Then she gets stolen, or it could also be a fun story. I feel like this is a different fairy tale I'm talking about, where the harp is sentient. I think it's like Jack and the Beanstalk, where isn't there a harp where the Jack steals from the giant, and she's like, "Take me with you." Like, clearly,
I don't know. That does sound familiar.
Maybe we should read that one this summer.
Oh, yeah. Let's do Jack and the Beanstalk this summer.
We haven't done that one yet. That'd be fun. And I know there's like a lot to it. I think there's like a couple stories that go along with that. So anyway.
Like a couple sequels?
I think so. I think there's more to that story than just like the main storyline where Jack goes up the beanstalk. But I think there's a harp that like wants to be stolen. Like the giant originally stole the harp and she's like, save me. But that also might just be the cartoon. I don't know. So anyway,
we'll have to find out, because I also don't know. I'm trying to think about it. And I've got a vague memory of like the harp talking, like the harp being like,
yeah,
like the long piece is like shaped like a woman.
I think so. Yeah.
But like, I also don't know if that's in the original story or not.
She's cursed. Can you imagine all of our listeners that know that story so well that are screaming at us right now?
I like to imagine this. Like, we can't hear you, nah.
No spoilers, friends. We'll do that one soon. I think that'd be a fun one.
Oh my goodness. So I am so incredibly ready for you to tell me your story. Did you pick the one that's just like bazonkers?
Yes. Okay.
You were telling me about?
So I also got my story from emeraldisle.ie, which is really funny because Abby and I were both really worried that we picked the same story. And luckily we did not. I actually had 3 different ones. And I'm going to tell you, Hudden Dunnan and Donal O'Leary.
Oh my God.
Because this story made me go, what the fuck? many, many times. Oh. And I have, I think I have a very fun fix for it.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay. Wait, so is it hidden?
It's, oh, Hudden. Sorry.
Okay.
I wrote that in there wrong. Hudden, Dudden, and Donald O'Leary. I'll give you a little hint. Hudden and Dudden are two different people.
Okay.
I don't know if that's helpful or not.
It is. It is helpful because I was wondering, like, is Hudden Dudden a person? Or are these three different people?
It's okay. Hudden, Dudden, and Donald O'Leary. So it's three different people.
Hudden, Dudden, and Donald are brothers.
Okay. Brothers.
Donald is the hero.
Donald's the hero. Sorry.
There's a kidnapping.
There's a kidnapping. That's a great prediction. There's a kidnapping. Okay. Well, without further ado, here's Hudden, Dudden, and Donald O'Leary.
Oh my God. Yes, tell me.
And I love how this starts off. Long ago in Ireland, although not so long that a white oak might not remember, there lived in County Roscommon, if I'm saying that right, Roscommon, a farmer by the name of Donald O'Leary. Now, Donald was known far and wide as a crafty fellow, or cute, as we say in Ireland.
So cute? He was cute?
He was cute. We'll say cute and crafty.
Donald is cute. Good to know.
And a skilled hand with the cards to boot. But he made one mistake. He played cards with two farmers who lived on either side of him and won half their land.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
In those days, a bet was a bet and people kept their word. But the two farmers, whose names were Hudden and Dudden, were furious and plotted to kill Donald as he slept.
Oh, man. I thought that all three of them, their last name was O'Leary.
Oh, nope.
I thought it was Hudden O'Leary, Dudden O'Leary, and Donald O'Leary.
You know what? I could see why you would think that.
I feel tricked.
Hopefully the story makes up for it.
Go on.
So one dark night, not long after that fateful game, Hudden and Dudden crept into the farm, up the old stone stairs and into the big bedroom where they strangled the person they found asleep. Unfortunately for their scheme, little did they know that Donald's habit was to sleep in the barn and they had accidentally strangled his poor old mother.
Oh no!
His poor old mother!
You didn't notice you were strangling an old woman?
I know, right? Must have been real dark.
Damn!
Well, Donald was distraught and beside himself the next morning. But not knowing much of the ways of murder, he thought she had passed away naturally.
Oh, he didn't even suspect that she'd been murdered because who would do that?
Yeah, who would do that? Oh,
Jesus.
He was bringing her down to the graveyard when a fierce thirst came upon him. So he propped her up beside the well and went into a nearby house for a taste of water. Which is such a choice. They had no water handy, so they sent the little girl down to the well to fill a jug. Thinking on his feet, Donald told the girl to shake his mother in case she had fallen asleep. But when she did, what happened to his mother? Sorry. But when she did, what happened but his mother's body toppled over and fell into the well?
Ugh.
Donald feigned great outrage to this poor little girl and said he...
I'm sorry. Why, though?
Why, indeed? Donald feigned great outrage and said he was going to the constabulary. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he went to the
constabulary.
Constabulary. He went to the police.
He went to the police. He got the police involved.
But the father of the house told him he would pay £100 and bury his mother themselves. So Donald took the money and went on his way.
Gee, what the fuck?
Was he that distraught? And also, he traumatized this poor little girl for life. Now this little girl thinks she killed that old woman.
And contaminated the well. Because you dumped a dead body in it.
On the way back, who should he run into but that very same Hudden and Dudden? And he boasted that he'd been paid £100 for the body of his mother, which he had spent on a great bag of snuff tobacco.
Wow. Wow.
The two looked at each other and raced back to their own farms, where they promptly killed their own mothers and dragged the bodies into town.
Jesus fuck!
Wrapping them up and proclaiming, who will buy the bodies of these old women for £100 so that we can buy snuff? Right? What the fuck? Abby's gassed it as flabbered.
It, yes, my ghast has been flabbered. Flabbered.
Yeah. Wow. Everything about the story just screams, huh? What?
What the fuck? Also, my ghast is flabbered is episode title contender.
Yeah, I read this and I was just really confused and a little scared of all three of these men. That they're so excited, like for £100, like to get
snuff, like they kill their mothers so that they can sell their bodies to get money for drugs. Like
what the fuck?
What the fuck? Kelsey, I was going to predict, and I wish that I'd done it, and then I didn't. I was going to predict something terrible happens to a woman.
Yeah, I feel like.
And a man, boy, oh boy, I would have been right on.
I have a fix. I think I can tell you now. It's that all three of them come back and haunt the shit out of these men.
Yes, as they deserve. That doesn't happen?
Well, you'll see. That's lots happens. Oh my this God. Is just okay. The beginning.
Jesus I Christ. Like I don't know if I can handle this story.
I think that might be the worst of it, though. I should have given a trigger warning.
Okay, keep going.
They were quickly collared by the police, but made a great struggle and escaped. For although they were not the brightest of candles, they weren't short of brawn. Now, even angrier that night, they went again to the O'Leary farm and killed all of his cattle. Having taken up residence in the now empty bed in the big room, Donald didn't hear a thing and was terribly upset to find all his cattle dead in the morning. Not to be... So much violence in this one. Not to be undone, he got an old cowhide and stitched little pockets inside, filling them with golden coins, and went to a commonly trodden path. There, he hung the hide from a tree branch and began beating it, letting the little coins fall like golden rain. A wealthy fellow who lived nearby was passing, and he asked Donald how much he would take for his golden hide. Not a penny less than £1,000, said the bold Donald. And £1,000 he got.
Okay.
This man's making bank.
He's making bank off some very, like,
tragic circumstances. Stuff. Yeah.
But, like, very, he's doing it in the most macabre way possible.
Uh-huh. Was he distraught over his mother?
I don't think so.
And he traumatized really sound that poor way. Little girl.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, shit, what am I going to do with the body? I know.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow, yeah. Also, I do love the continuation of Irish stories saying rich people are stupid.
Yes. Yeah. Rich Go people on. Are stupid. Oh, that's where gold coins come from. Perfect.
Oh, I see you've got a golden hide. It wouldn't occur to me at all that you just stitched some gold into the hide.
Or maybe even to check it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, did not check the product first anyway.
Back he went, whistling a tune, and who should he meet along the road but the very same pair again, Hudden and Dudden.
Wow, he tipped them a wink. Go everywhere together. They do everything together.
They're boyfriends.
They are boyfriends. Or brothers.
No, they're boyfriends, Abby. Donald tipped them a wink and a sly smile and boasted that he had just sold a cowhide for £1,000 and the rich man had begged him for it in the end. Well, not to miss a trick, Hutton and Dutton went home as quickly as they could. And what do you think they did, Abby?
Did they kill all their cows and sew fucking gold coins into their hides?
That is what they did, except they didn't know about the gold part. So they just began. So they just took the hides
they
just, onto
they
the
just take their hides. Wow.
And started beating them and shouting. But the rich man had since discovered the deception and got a good group of his bully boys and farm laborers to violently beat the pair. Having had enough.
Oh, no, if only they were as smart as Donald.
Because Donald's our hero, obviously.
Donald is our hero. Oh, my God.
Having had enough, aching with bruises, and now short a few teeth, Hutton and Dutton decided they would be done with O'Leary once and for all. So they said that drowning him in the well would be a fitting end. They hastened to his house without waiting for the night to fall and swept a great bag over his head, dragging him toward the well.
Honestly, I'm not that sad for him. That probably is a fitting end for him.
Along the way, for it was a hot day, they stepped into another public house for a quick pint. Murdering is thirsty work. They left Donald in the bag outside, and who would come along but a local shepherd with 24 sheep?
You didn't even finish doing the murder. Finish the murder before you stop for a break. Oh my God, they're so lazy.
They needed a pint.
They're like, oh my God, murdering is thirsty work. We're only halfway done with this one.
Noticing the wriggling bag, the shepherd asked what was the matter, to which Donald replied mournfully, I'm going to heaven, you see. The shepherd fell to his knees and asked if he could come too. Are you?
I don't know, Donald. I think if they do murder you, you're going somewhere else.
So the shepherd fell to his knees and asked if he could come too. And Donald said he could if he let him out of the sack and gave him the sheep. Agreeing to these terms, the shepherd went away happy, and Donald went away many sheep richer, leaving only one sheep behind him in the bag.
Oh, God.
Hutton and Dutton staggered out, three sheets to the wind, and dragged the bag to the well, where they unceremoniously dropped it over the edge, listening to the deep splash it made with satisfaction. Certain of a job well done, they were on their way home when they happened to pass Donald's farm, complete with Donald counting his sheep in the field. Dumbfounded, they looked at one another and gulped, asking where he had gotten the sheep. He told them it was at the bottom of the well, where he met a man with sheep and cattle, and this man said he could pick the best of them.
Okay.
The pair started fighting each other.
Okay.
The pair started fighting each other to see who could go down the well first. But Hutton landed a swift right hook and belted Dutton off his feet before leaping headfirst into the well. As he sank into the deep waters, bubbles arose bearing indistinct words. And Dutton looked at O'Leary, asking what he was saying. Hurry up and give me a hand with them, said Donald. And Dutton leaped to his doom right after Hutton. And that was that. Donald O'Leary may have lived near the spot marked on the map below. Sorry. We'll just say, and that was that.
The end.
The end.
That's, wow. Huh.
Okay. It wasn't as long as I imagined. I felt like it was a little bit longer than usual. But
okay.
What the fuck?
What the fuck was that?
So clearly, my fix is that all three women come back and haunt these men to their deaths instead of the original way that they die.
Yes. Yeah.
What? And that poor little girl.
That poor kid. Like,
I'm traumatized.
She had a long and happy and untroubled life after that.
Yeah, for real. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that also, like, I mean, I know that this isn't the point of the story or anything, but like so much well water contamination.
Yeah.
Throwing dead sheep in there. Now these two guys are going to drown in there. Like,
your dead mom, a sheep, two dead guys.
Your dead mom, a sheep, and the two farmers next to you. Like, you can't drink out of that well anymore.
Mm-mm. Nope. That well.
This is haunted. How bubonic plague spreads.
I wonder, it does have a picture of a well. I'm sure that's not it. But there is a map. It's also, so like Abby's story, there's like a little map at the bottom that says Donald O'Leary may have lived near the spot marked on the map below. So we could potentially definitely not go there because it's for sure haunted.
That's for sure haunted, but it wouldn't be haunting us. They wouldn't be mad at us.
I hope not.
Probably. Jeez.
Poor mothers. Yeah. What the fuck? Anyway, I read that and it surprised me a lot. So I wanted to tell it to you. Let me see. There was a kidnapping.
Yeah, I get one.
You got 1 point.
There was a kidnapping. Good for me.
They weren't brothers.
And Donald is not a hero.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I think technically he was the hero of the story.
Maybe. I think the story thinks he is. Like, the story thinks he's very clever.
Uh-huh. But he is not our hero. Maybe 1.5.
Give me 1.5 on that.
1.5 points.
Because the story thinks he's a hero, even if we don't.
No. Terrible, awful.
That's awful.
In my opinion, not enough fairy nonsense in this story, but definitely lots of human nonsense. So,
plenty of human nonsense. Pretty much no fairy nonsense.
Yeah. And if you need some fairy nonsense, we are going to be doing a Patreon bonus episode this month, which I'm really excited about.
So we promise to do more fairy shit. I think you actually had another couple stories locked and loaded, right? That have...
I do, but I might keep looking. I don't know. I love Irish fairy tales and I want to do like a, I have to read all of them.
Yep. we'll have to go spelunking for more.
Mm-hmm.
But wow. I like your fix for that story, which is three women come back as ghosts and haunt the shit out of all three of those dudes until they leap off a cliff or something.
Yep. Into the well.
And not into the well. They don't fuck up anybody else's life.
It's very much like The Ring. Oh my God. I'm like, what? Anyway.
Yes. It's like The Ring. They crawl out of the well.
It's
yes,
terrifying. They're so, they're poor mothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That story is so funny.
Oh, yeah. It's really cute. It says the tagline is murder in mysterious company.
Okay.
It's definitely – I thought it was fun. I liked it. I liked Hutton and Dutton seemed very – I liked that they weren't the brightest of candles.
No, but they were like, what was the second? But
they
part
weren't
of that?
Short of brawn.
But they weren't short of brawn. I love the way like these sort of like Irish folk tales are told. Like that's the best part is like the little jokes, the little asides.
Yeah. Well, it kind of made me think a little bit about when Jeff was talking about like bodies, like a dead body that people think they killed, like that multiple think they killed.
Yes.
Which is another reason I picked this one, because I want to find more tales like that. Obviously, his was from the Arabian Nights, or 1000. I can't remember what we decided. I think it's both.
Yeah. You know.
Arabian Nights or 1001 Nights. But
whatever it is. But that's...
I wanted to find more stories like that, and this reminded me of that. It only happened once, but... Or maybe three times, because... They think they killed someone else, and then he goes in and thinks it happened naturally, and then the little girl thinks she killed.
She killed. Oh, my God. No, I guess it does happen.
That's so awful.
Like, three times.
So fucked up.
I was blown away to know learn that that's a tale type, that happens a lot. Because I feel classic. Like we haven't really come across it yet. It's classic.
The classic Weekend at Bernie's tale type. Mm-hmm. Oh, awful, 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 but also kind of funny.
Oh my God.
Don't think about the horror of it all.
I want to call this episode Weekend at Donald's.
Weekend at Donald's.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to Fairy Tale Fix. We love March. March is one of the best months of the entire year on this show mm-hmm. because we get to just read some just crazy ass Irish fairy tales. That was so mm-hmm. amazing. If you also really enjoyed that story and you want to support us, there are a couple of ways that you can help us out. Free ways include subscribing to our show mm-hmm. on any podcast catcher you're on. You can also leave us a review on Apple. You can leave us 5 stars on Spotify.
Audible.
Or Audible. Yeah, you can leave us a review on Audible. That would be really awesome. It helps other people find the show. If you have a little extra dinero and you feel like throwing some of it our way, we'd really appreciate it. And you can sign up at fairytalefix.cash. You get extra episodes if you do that, including an extra episode this month, because mm-hmm. we're just going to keep this Irish fairy tale train rolling for our yeah. March bonus episode. So you'll get access to that when it comes out, as well as to all of our other bonus episodes we've already recorded if you sign up at fairytalefix.cash. And you can also find us on the social medias at Fairy Tale Fix Pod. You can join our Discord by going to our website, fairytalefix.com. And as always, you can just also email us at info@fairytalefixpod.com if you just have anything at all that you would like to share. Or if you want us to shout you out, we will absolutely do that. Yeah. And so, King Nuada of the Tuat Dedannan, you know, he'd just been ruling for a long time. He decided to retire. And that's how Dag D'Amour became king. And the rest of the story proceeded as normal.
And the three mothers decided to haunt the shit out of those Hudden, Dudden, and Donal O'Leary. And they actually killed them. The ghosts.
As they deserve.
In the well, in my version. Because I think that's really creepy. Creepy and spooky.
Like they lead each of them to the well.
And the three mothers and my fix, anyway. Mm-hmm. And everybody else. All lived.
Happily ever after.
The end.